Radio Prague News.
Coalition parties meet over the government crisis. Police seek to arrest a Russian artist, and the jobless total drops to 4.4%. I know representatives call for the revocation of the current coalition agreement during talks between party leaders of the current Czech government. That move was rejected by the leaders of the main government party, the Social Democrats, according to Christian Democrat leader Pavel Bělobrádek. The party leaders agreed they did not want early elections, but they did not set a date for further talks. The Christian Democrats said they expected ANO counterparts to name a possible successor to Andrej Babiš as finance minister. Later, ANO leaders said Deputy Finance Minister Alena Šilarová could fill the post. The discussions were called to seek a way out of the current crisis sparked by the Prime Minister's call for Babiš to resign as Minister of Finance over his financial dealings. Czech police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Russian artist Oleg Vorotnikov, according to the website aktualny.cz. A Prague court said that broken promises that he gave last year about attending hearings, and they said they couldn't find him at the address given. Vorotnikov is in Prague with his wife and three children, but Russian authorities have asked for his extradition. One of the most noted exploits of Vorotnikov's artistic group was drawing a giant penis on a St. Petersburg drawbridge that faced the city headquarters of the secret police, the FSB. The Czech Minister of Justice has suggested it's unlikely that Vorotnikov would be handed over to Russian authorities. Unemployment in April fell to 4.4% from March's 4.8%, the third monthly drop in a row, according to the National Labour Office. The total numbers of those declared seeking and available for work was just over 327,000, the lowest April figure since 2008. The number of job vacancies stood at just over 159,000. And in separate economic information, the Czech annual inflation rate in April was 2%, down from 2.6% in March, according to the Czech Statistical Office. The monthly rate was unchanged for a third month in a row. Higher prices for clothes and shoes were offset by price decreases for alcoholic drinks and food. Lower food prices were the main factor in the drop in the annual inflation rate. The number of wild lynx and wolves in the Beskydy forests on the eastern border between the Czech Republic and Slovakia remains stable, according to researchers drawing on the results of winter surveys. They found the number of adult lynx at around 15 and the number of wolves at around 3, the same as estimated during the previous count a year earlier. One bear also made sporadic visits from across the border in Slovakia. The number of lynx and wolves has been tracked in the area for at least the last 12 years. And finally, a look at the weather. The weather on Thursday will be cloudy with sunny intervals and top temperatures ranging between 17 and 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, as the Czech government crisis unfolds, the Senate is preparing to enter into a legal battle over the president's authority. Why has a picture of a Czech Girl Scout at a neo-Nazi rally gone viral? And in Marketplace, we'll look at how cooperation with the Czech Republic is helping Moldova to develop its economy. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A group of Czech senators are preparing to take the president to the Constitutional Court if he doesn't comply with the Prime Minister's wish to dismiss the finance minister. With the head of state showing no sign of climbing down, an unprecedented legal battle could be on the cards. Ian Willoughby reports.
Last Friday, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka wrote to President Miloš Zeman, asking him to dismiss Andrej Babiš as Minister of Finance. This procedure is covered by Article 74 of the Czech Constitution, which states, the President removes a member of the government if that is proposed by the Prime Minister. Mr. Zeman seems intent on capitalising on the fact that the Constitution doesn't set a concrete deadline for him to take such action, and says Mr. Sobotka may not give him any orders in this regard. However, a number of the country's top legal experts say the head of state must act without delay once he has received such a request. A group of senators have now announced that if Mr. Zeman doesn't remove Mr. Babish within a week, they will take the matter to the Constitutional Court. Milan Štech is the Speaker of the Upper House. I've been informed that in the coming days, I can expect a proposal from a group of at least 27 senators who'll request that the Senate begin taking action in accord with Article 65 of the Constitution. Under Article 65, the Senate can take a constitutional action against the President for two reasons: treason or gross violation of the Constitution or another part of the constitutional order. If such a step were approved by three-fifths of senators present in the Upper House, it would also need to be passed by the Chamber of Deputies before the Constitutional Court would be obliged to make a ruling. Among the senators planning the move is Miluša Horská of the Christian Democrats. The constitutional complaint is, of course, a major undertaking when something happens. But the fact the Senate can't do anything unless something happens really sends a message to citizens that we're here and we're a safeguard right now if something happens regarding the Czech constitution that needs to be watched. The Senate's Constitutional Committee was due to meet on Wednesday to fine-tune the wording of the planned complaint. President Zeman has ruled out taking action on Mr. Babish until after he returns from a week-long trip to China that begins on Thursday. If he keeps his word and the senators keep theirs, the head of state may return to the beginnings of a constitutional crisis without precedent in modern Czech history.
Ian Willoughby there. Moving on now, a photograph of a Czech teenage Girl Scout confronting a neo-Nazi supporter has been widely shared on the social media worldwide as a symbol of defiance against the far-right movement. The image, which has collected over 60,000 points on Reddit, was taken during a May Day rally in the Czech Republic's second biggest town, Brno. Ruth Frankova has more.
Lucie Myslíková, a 16-year-old Girl Scout, was one of a group of some 300 protesters who confronted a rally organized by the far-right Workers' Party of Social Justice in Brno on the 1st of May. She was captured in a photograph facing one of the 100 or so supporters of the fringe party. The image shows Lucia in a scout's uniform holding a banner face to face with an angry neo-Nazi activist wearing dark sunglasses. It was snapped just as a soap bubble drifted past the young girl's face. In an interview for the Czech radio, Lucia, who has been a scout for 7 years, explained why she was wearing her Girl Scout uniform.
I think it made sense because fascism and totalitarian regimes in general are in contradiction with the scouting movement. Although scouting is apolitical, I think that assuming a clear stand was the right thing to do. Scouting also teaches us to be free, to express ourselves and to be active in public. In other words, to try to make the world a better place. This was an ideal opportunity to show that we really abide by these principles.
Lucia explained that the argument with the man had been over refugees and migrants. She said she tried to explain to him that countries had a duty to help those fleeing war and conflict, and that in such cases borders did not exist. The photograph, which has since become iconic, was taken by fellow demonstrator Vladimir Cicmanec, who posted it on his Facebook profile on the same day. It was then shared by the World Organization of the Scout Movement and quickly became viral, attracting attention worldwide. Among those who expressed support for Lucia's brave stand was the Secretary General's envoy on youth, Ahmed Al-Hendawi, who called her to tell her the scouting world was very proud of the way she stood up for her beliefs.
Je to hrozně silný být takhle na tisíce kilometrů spojený s člověkem.
It is very moving to be connected over thousands of kilometers with a person who is so high placed and who took the trouble to call and say thank you. It is great to see that the values we stand up for are acknowledged even so far away.
Vidět, že ty hodnoty, za které bojujeme, jsou uznávány i někde tak daleko.
Lucie Myslíková reacting to one of the many positive reactions she received after her photo went viral. Not all the reactions to the picture were positive, however. Threats of violence against the young girl also appeared on Facebook, prompting the police to report the page and launch an investigation. Lucia Mislíková, for her part, said this was yet more proof of growing intolerance in the society.
My thanks to Ruth Frankova for that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Czechs are doing their bit to support economic and political development in the small and relatively poor Republic of Moldova, sandwiched between Romania and Ukraine. The Czech Republic is already among Moldova's top 10 European Union trade partners and is supporting the country with development aid for targeted areas. But the Moldovans would like to deepen relations much further. Chris Johnson has more in this edition of Marketplace.
The pro-European Moldovan Prime Minister Pavel Filip and Minister for Regional Development Vasily Bitsa were in Prague on Tuesday for a meeting with Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and Minister of Industry and Trade Jiří Havlíček. The flagship event was a Czech-Moldovan business forum with presentations and around 65 Czech companies expected to take up the invite to look at what the country of 3.5 million people has to offer. The Czech Prime Minister already visited Moldova around a year ago with a similar business agenda prepared. Moldova is widely reckoned to be the poorest country in Europe. The former Soviet Republic currently has a pro-European government and a pro-Russian president, with the former seeking to maximise ties with the European Union. The country is seeking to make a plus and not a negative of its location between East and West, especially as a series of deals with the EU, Russia and latterly Turkey give it free trade relationships with markets totalling more than 800 million people. Trade ties with the Czech Republic, as Minister Jiří Havlíček admits, are currently heavily tipped in favour of Czech exporters. But Prague would be happy to see that change. Minister Jiří Havlíček.
At the moment and over recent years, Czech-Moldovan commercial relations have been stable. The overall trade turnover is not that high, being valued at around an annual 2 billion crowns. It is dominated by Czech exports to Moldova, with a smaller level of Moldovan exports to the Czech Republic. We would like to see that change and to see the bilateral commercial trade and relations at a higher level. But for Czech companies to start operating on the Moldovan market, they need to be certain that the Moldovan government will work on its internal business and investment environment. Companies need to know that if they invest there, they will be looked after and be able to develop. As the Moldovan Prime Minister and Minister for Regional Development said clearly today, one of the priorities is to develop a standard business environment in Moldova, and we want to help them with that. Standardního podnikatelského prostředí a my v tomto chceme
Moldávii podporovat. Moldova has since 2010 been one of the Czech Republic's priority targets for development aid, mostly aimed at handing over Czech know-how in developing state institutions, social services, environmental care, and the business and economic infrastructure necessary to success. The Ministry of Industry and Trade is the provider of one stream of aid to help small and mid-sized businesses develop under its so-called Aid for Trade banner. But the main direction of the Moldovan mission this week was elsewhere. They would like to see increased Czech corporate investment from the relatively low levels so far. Yulia Petuhov is deputy director of the Moldova Investment and Promotion Organization, MIEPO for short, and explained its broad goals in Prague.
So at the moment in Republic of Moldova we have more than 50 Czech companies presented. Of course, they are mostly dedicated to the sector of the automotive and small machine building components. And of course, as for every economy, they are involved in terms of trade, bilateral trade. We want to as well increase our trade partnership with Czech companies, and such events as today, we would like to invite more Czech companies to be presented on our market. And of course, taking into account the great experience and potential of Czech companies in the field of automotive and machine building sector, as well as electronic and devices, we would like to attract more companies in this sector.
From the background material, there is little room to doubt that Moldova would like to court Czech auto and auto supply companies to set up subsidiaries there or to further outsource some of their production. A pamphlet in English, Automotive Components and Industry Overview, sets out why those arguments should be taken seriously, not least the average Moldovan wages of around 235 euros a month, around a quarter of the average wage in the Czech Republic. And it's an auto sector which has almost doubled the volume of its turnover and number of employees, now totalling just over 9,000, in the last 4 years. Some Moldovan companies are already supplying components to Czech car producers. With one significant supplier, the local subsidiary of the US-based company Lear Corporation, supplying the TPCA joint venture Czech car plant Nikolin in East Bohemia. The general argument is that Moldova could supply the labour-intensive work which Czech companies now have trouble carrying out due to higher costs or lack of local labour. And there's a political dimension to the economic drive to integrate with Western Europe as well. Now, almost two-thirds of Moldovan trade is with the EU, and that represents a big change from just a few years ago. The Moldova-EU Association Agreement has been in place since the middle of last year, but as the election of the pro-Russian president at the end of the year showed, the political argument where the country should be has not been fully settled. Yulia Petuhov says Moldovan companies still have to make the most of the free trade with the EU that the agreement brings.
So if to compare with, say, 3 years ago, when the share of Moldovan exports to the European Union and CIS were equally, so our government understand that there is very important to have more linkages with the European Union markets, having higher standards, having, let's say, a huger market. So being signed this DCFTA, Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement, now our share of exports are more than 65%. And of course, for us, it's very important, European Union market, and even our institutional orientation. We have planned a lot of events in the European Union market, different trade fairs and exhibitions, and even our companies understand that increasing their quality, increasing their competitiveness, they'll have more opportunities to be present on the European Union markets.
One market where Moldova has established a reputation and healthy Czech market is wine. And the Czech Republic has been instrumental in helping local producers set up their own quality control systems so there can be no doubts about what consumers are getting. The Czech Ministry of Finance a few years ago had reserves about Moldovan wine, complaining that it was being sold in barrels as the local production in retail outlets. But the Moldovans say this dispute is now history and they are toasting better times. French-speaking Gheorghe Arpenten is director of the Moldovan National Office for Vine and Wine.
Around 200,000 people are involved in this industry, and most of those are in the countryside. We, Moldova, are the sixth biggest wine producer in Europe. After 2006, with the Russian embargo, we began to diversify and develop our market, and now Moldova has four priorities on the market, and one of these is the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is, according to the statistics, the second market for Moldovan wine in terms of volume, and third most important market in terms of total value. I am the director of the National Office for Vines and Wine, and we have the mission to promote our wine outside, above all, on export markets. We have a second goal to ensure the quality of wine, and the third target is to ensure the transfer of know-how in the vines and wine sector.
Jürgen Abrenten says their Czech mission is to find Czech partners to boost sales and also get to know some new techniques, such as the fast-growing market for bio wine, where he says that Czech growers and producers have skills they would appreciate sharing. Czech Development Help has already helped Moldovan wine get a foothold in many European markets.
We are also here to find partners to help us promote our wine on the Czech market. We are here not just to promote our wine, but also to invest in the market and to get to know the consumer. They should know that Moldova is changing its face. Our wine complies to European standards. In this, we have been helped by the Czech Development Agency with a project through which we developed our registry of vines and wines. This registry is fundamental in allowing us to trace the origins of grapes and wine in our system of quality control. The project will be completed in the year 2018, but it has already helped us a lot in meeting all the wine quality standards required in the European community.
Jorge Arpentin ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, send a mail to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zarovasing. Thanks for joining us today and take care.